Well, right now there's no snow, hopefully, where these guys are. It's time for Tim, Luke, and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' fracker of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You can always find them on the web at tqag.com. And how goes it, Tim and Greg?
Good, thanks.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Are you
actually, good morning from snowy Cleveland.
And good morning from sunny Florida.
So yes. Tim, you are in snow. All right.
Well, yeah, it's going to dissipate today. It's just been, when I arrived yesterday, it was coming down. It's not sticking, but it's just the part of the whole system that's been moving across the country. So, yeah, was walking around in the snow yesterday for my meetings, and I have a lunch meeting today. So hopefully tomorrow will be much better.
All right. Before we get to the serious auction stuff, we're going to go to the goofy auction stuff. And when I mean goofy, I mean like Goofy and Mickey and Minnie Mouse. Mickey and Minnie Mouse motorcycle in New Jersey, Vineland, New Jersey, sold for $2.1 million. Pardon me, $222,000 at Bertoia's sale of auction. That's a hefty sum for Mickey and Minnie on a motorcycle. It actually is. Actually, I want to say, though, I see the picture, and it is a pretty cool toy.
It's a very cool toy.
And if that's the picture, if that's the picture of it, and it's in that condition, nobody must have ever played with it.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you brought this up today, because when Tim was still the principal auctioneer for them, how many times this particular maybe not this particular toy, but the same toy, different owner, different consigner. This has been over the years consistently doing better and better and better. But this is definitely a record for this particular piece. And I can pretty much guarantee you that this is exactly what it looks like, because Bertoia is known for the condition of the items that they sell. Because a lot of these are the top collectors in the country and the world, and they only collect the best of the best.
Right. Well, and this piece also has a great provenance and background. So this piece was made by TIBCO. It's about 1932. So if you look at the photo, Marshall, you'll see that it's not the cartoony Mickey and Minnie that we're used to. They look more mousy. And it's a wind-up toy, but it also came from a collection of one of the most, known collectors in the toy industry, Donald Kaufman. And he had amassed one of the best collections of toys from a variety of different types of toys. So having that provenance along with the collection that it was coming from, the person who purchased it and then was selling this, just really was amazing. And overall, their toy sale did really well. It did over $2 million. That was the 2.16 is what the entire sale of this single owner sale did. So having it grouped in and having this all come to auction together is really fantastic. And kudos to Bertoia Auctions, because it's you don't see this toy a lot. There's not, especially when you see something sell like this. We'll see how many more come up for auction in the next 6 months or 8 months, because people will say, "Oh my God, maybe I can get that much." But there's not many of them out there.
Well, Tim, you did the Kaufman sale when it first came. Yes. How many sessions? There were like three sessions
four separate auctions that they did. That's how much the accumulation of lots. So each, and it was spread out. So each session had almost 1,000 items in it, you know, anywhere between 600 to 800 for some as it got to the end. But yeah, it was an awful, it was a lot.
Now, the last week, I think it was, and we've probably been talking about this for a lot, but anyways, different museums deaccessing art, and the Toledo Museum is going to deaccession, sell for the common persons, auction house, whatever, right. Impressionist paintings that could fetch more than $60 million at Sotheby's. A Matisse and a Renoir are in that. And you know, these deaccessions don't always go well with the people who are on the boards of these museums.
Well, it's not only the boards that get up in arms; it's also the museum goers who have been going there to see these particular pieces of art over the years, and whether or not they have been displayed full time or not is inconsequential, because you know they know they're there and they have seen them at some point in over their patronage. And you know, it's like selling your child. That's the way I feel about it. And I'm a little upset about this one, only because the Toledo, I'm from that area, and the Toledo Museum was my playground when I was when I was in college. And I think it's sad that it's happening, but I understand the reasoning. And the museum has been struggling over the years, but the past couple of years in particular, I'm telling you, this is what we talked about last week. This is the blowback from what's happening with the economy and that got kicked off with COVID. So this is going to continue, and I hate to see these things end up in a private collection and never be seen again. That's my whole thing about deaccessioning. That's what really upsets me about this.
Right. Well, and the other thing is that part of it is in their press release, and in what they're saying is that the Toledo Museum of Art, what they're doing is they are selling these pieces to help bolster their collection and diversify their collection. Is that's basically what they are, is their reasoning, and that's what they're going to be doing, and that's how they're framing it.
Let's go to Sotheby's in London. They are going to, over the course of this full month, they are celebrating Queen Elizabeth. She's been queen now for 70 years, the longest stretch of anybody. She ascended to the throne in 1953. Pretty amazing. So, anyways, I'm looking at some of these paintings that they're going to get rid of, and some of the things they are going to put out there. What goes to me, and maybe Tim, you can answer this, by Sotheby's doing this, does the money? Where does the money go for this? I mean, are these people that have this privately? Does it go to the Queen? I mean, that's what I don't understand. I don't see it in the story. So you know, I just don't know where it goes to.
Right. Basically, they are putting a sale that is honoring. So it says that they're gearing up to mark the Platinum Jubilee, okay, which is in June, to honor her 70 years on the throne. So they're putting together a sale of British art that will honor Queen Elizabeth and the whole thing. But the it's a curated exhibition of royal manuscripts, tiaras, portrait of seven of Britain Queen Regents in the get. So it'll be in the gallery honoring May 28th to the 15th. Oh, I don't think this is an auction, Marshall. I think it is an exhibition.
Just an exhibition? Okay.
That's what it looks like. Because it has to be an exhibition. And one of the ways that I could tell immediately is whenever there are photos and they say that there are things that will be in, if it were a sale, they would always have a projected estimate, the estimate of the pieces of what they expect it to bring. So they're putting together an exhibition of a number of people's collection. Like they do have a Andy Warhol from the Reigning Queens series from 1985. Warhol did a portrait of Queen Elizabeth. And so it'll be that. They'll also have a variety of the tiaras that will be on display that were made by Van Cleef & Arpels and just a variety of other other jewelry, as well as manuscripts, Bibles. It's so very, very interesting. It's called Power and Image, Royal Portraiture and Iconography, and Aristocratic Tiaras will be on view in Sotheby's London. So it's May 28th through June 15th, and it's alongside events for the Jubilee Arts Festival. So they must be participating in the Arts Festival and putting together a curated exhibit to help with this whole Jubilee Arts Festival.
You know,
very
been,
interesting.
Yeah, we've been talking about NFT. And and I've been and Greg and I have both gone around the rosebush a million times how we don't understand it, but in a story I found from late February, the platform which sold an NFT of Jack Dorsey's first tweet for $2.9 million, they halted all the transactions. Why? Because people were selling tokens of content that didn't belong to them, and this is the part that drives me crazy about cryptocurrency. There is no regulation. There's nobody to see or oversee what's real and what's not real, it just amazes me, and continues to amaze me.
You know, it's funny that you bring this up, because, and I missed it, and I've been looking for it on Netflix. There was a special. It might have been about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to catch it, but I think it was on the night that we had a fundraising event, so I missed it. I said, "Well, I'll catch it on demand." Haven't been able to find it yet. It was explaining all about NFTs and what cryptocurrency is, because this is how. What's the word I'm looking for here? This is how silly this is. People who are buying them don't even know what they are, and they're jumping on the bandwagon because it's being advertised everywhere, and so people think, oh, it's safe, so we're going to do it. And then what happens? Somebody uses it, and this happens where all of a sudden, all of it, the entire sale of this thing, it just everything just kind of like falls apart, because it seems to me the propensity of fraud is so, it's just in your face. You don't know, there is nothing solid to hang on to. That's what I just don't understand.
Well, this is also part of, this is a loss in value. So yes, there was a tweet sold for estimated $2.9 million when it first was sold, because it was the first time, big hype all around it. Now we're 2 years into this and things are selling. And it's when they tried to sell it on this valuables platform, then of course the highest bid that they were able to get was only about 9,000. So that's why there was a lot of controversy around this, is that, you know, it's simple economics as well, is that there's people just thought that this whole thing was going to continue to drive. You see this in a lot. What, you know, somebody may sell something for a tremendous amount of money. That doesn't mean when you bring it up for auction again, it's going to sell for more. It could sell for less. And that was, I think, what was going on in this particular thing. And that's why they stopped the auction, just saying, well, I'll hold on to it and let's see what happens, and see where it goes. It's one of those things. It's like Greg said, you don't have anything to really hold on to. It's not It's non-fungible. A fungible token is a hunk of gold. That is fungible. That will always go up in value, or a diamond.
Now, if this was a regulated industry, they'd be investigating it for this one reason alone. In 2020, total NFT sales were $94.9 million, okay? In 2021, $24.9 billion in sales. That would raise any regulators, the hair would fall off their heads. And they'd be out investigating.
I don't understand why that didn't raise a red flag.
Well, there's no one to raise a red flag to.
Well, thank you.
It's not a regulated currency, right? That's why. That's why the federal government wants to try to somehow, they're writing legislation to regulate that, but there's nobody to regulate it. It's like it's all treasury. Like treasury deals with cash or deals, you know, with dollars. There's nobody dealing with the, you know, Bitcoin and all the other currencies that are the cryptocurrencies that are out there.
Well, it's just, like I said, it just continues to boggle the mind. So how long are you going to be out there in Cleveland?
I fly back Friday morning. So I am here actually meeting with a number of art organizations and just talking about Hindman appraisals. I'm going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame, doing that in the next couple of days. And I'm glad we're doing those when it's not snowy today. I'm meeting with clients. We're having lunch and some other meetings. But just doing a lot of business development, meeting a lot of people who use appraisals and appraisal services. And we'll be explaining what Hindman appraisals, what we can do and how we can help their clients.
All right, guys, I want you to stay healthy, wealthy, and wise, and we'll speak to you next week.
Hey, that sounds good.
You too, Marshall. Have a great week.
Take care, Marshall. Bye-bye.
Tim Luke and Greg Schraub, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. Once again, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.